If your fall could use a little witchy reading fun, you should hop online or over to your favorite bookstore and order a copy of my latest book, Playing the Witch Card. Think grown-up Gilmore Girls meets practical magic with a family deck of troublesome tarot cards stalking a new generation. You've listened to me talk about getting the work done. Now go check out the result and pick up a copy for a friend, too. Guaranteed fall vibe, no pumpkin spice necessary.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Hey writers, I'm Jenny Nash, and this is the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast, the place where we talk about writing all the things, short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction, pitches, and proposals. Today, I'm talking to Nick Courtwright, CEO of Atmosphere Press, a hybrid press based out of Austin, Texas. Nick started Atmosphere in 2015, but he came to this entrepreneurial venture by way of writing. His prose and poetry has appeared in such places as the Harvard Review, Kenyon Review, Boston Review, and the Best American Poetry. He holds a doctorate from the University of Texas, a Master's of Fine Arts from Texas State University, and a Bachelor of Specialized Studies in Written Expression from Ohio University. In other words, Nick was a professor and a poet before he became a publisher. Several Author Accelerator certified book coaches have published with Atmosphere and also guided their clients to publish with them, and all of these folks have reported having had a great experience. There are a lot of misconceptions about what a hybrid publisher is and what they do, so I asked Nick to come give us an overview of what he does, why he does it, and why a hybrid option can make sense for certain projects. Let's get to it. Hi, Nick. It's so awesome to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So I came to know you and what you're doing and all about your press because some of Author Accelerator book coaches, I started hearing a lot of chatter about you and Atmosphere Press. And so I started paying attention to that chatter and people were just talking about, I feel like at the time it was new and people were saying, this is a really great thing. I've sent writers here. I've come here my own self. So that was how I came to know about you and what you're doing. And I have just been fascinated by watching the growth of what is going on with you and everything. So I wanted to have you on to give a larger population of writers insight into what it's like to run a hybrid press, what's going on there, what is happening there for writers. And so I thought we would start out by just having you tell us, in your words, what are you doing over there at Atmosphere Press?
Yeah, so we are a literary hybrid publisher. We provide all manner of author services. Really trying to be an author forward press. You know, when I started it back in 2015, the one thing that I knew, like people would be like, oh, did you have a vision when you were starting it? And I didn't, I had no idea what I was doing. Right. But I knew that I wanted it to be a place that was author friendly. Like when I first built the website, I was like, this is author friendly publishing. And we were going to be dedicated to honesty, transparency, professionalism, kindness, and making your book awesome. So right from the very start, I knew that we wanted to be a press that was dedicated to, you know, author autonomy, you know, actually listening to authors, taking into account their viewpoints on how they wanted the cover to look, how they wanted the editorial process to go, to, you know, work with them on promoting their book and all of these sort of things. So now it used to just be me, you know, I was designing the covers, I was having the editorial meetings, and obviously I'm not doing all of that anymore, right? So now we've got a team of about 50 people, and we've published about 1,200 authors now. We work in all genres, and it's, you know, sort of become this all-encompassing thing. And I think one thing that really makes me proud about it is that we've managed to stay true to those founding principles and in a sense, like go more all in on them. Like, you know, have our contract like freely available on the website and start having a writing residency in Costa Rica and offer free book giveaways and free author interview series and just really try to, you know, build something that's going to be a service to writers. Because personally, you know, I'm a writer. I've had four of my books published. I was in, you know, I would stay in on recess in fourth grade with my little fourth grade girlfriend. We would write little stories, you know? So it was like in my blood from the very start being a writer. So now being on the publishing side of things, you know, just wanting to, you know, treat these people with respect, as opposed to, you know, what you could see in a traditional publishing landscape where a lot of times the power imbalance like so favors the publisher that the author is just sort of left groveling, you know. And I don't think that's an ethical way to treat people who have poured, you know, potentially hundreds of hours of their time into a passion project.
So I want to get back to that comment and that idea for sure. But the fourth grade story, we must stick with the fourth grade story. I actually, my writer origin story is actually fourth grade too, which is sort of interesting. But you come from a literary background that I believe you were a poet. Is that, do I mm-hmm. have that right? So
yep, that's my problem.
Right, that's your problem, right? So I'd like to hear a little bit about that path, your path toward becoming a poet before you started the press and how that might, because you and I have talked about mm-hmm. this kind of humanities to entrepreneurial trajectory, which some of us are on. And I find that really interesting. So can you talk about your own writing background and training before you started the press?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when I was young, you know, it was all fiction. You know, I was writing fiction all the time. You know, in high school, I wrote like a 300-page like novel of international intrigue, you know, and it was like I was drawing maps and everything. Like, you know, it was pretty deranged. But and then eventually, you know, I sort of found poetry, you know, and I got really interested in, you know, philosophy. I was pretty deep into my feelings, you know, when I was, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, you know, and started writing, you know, just countless, you know, sort of journalistic love poems for, you know, my, you know, unrequited, you know, sort of situation and all of that. And then I remember one time in college, I had this one friend who he was always writing poems also. And I remember one time he showed me a poem that he wrote and it was good. And I was like, oh crap. You know, like I felt like this like overwhelming despair because my friend had written this like truly like good thing. And I was like, I need to like get it together, you know? And then I just started
poetry.
You know, yeah, cranking stuff out. I was just like writing like one after another. So like, I mean, I was just always like really, really, you know, sort of a workaholic, even in that regard, like writing a poem every single day, like always trying to create content, you know. And like back in high school, I was the editor of the school newspaper, and it's like half the articles in the newspaper were written by me. I was always kind of, you know, that type of writing lunatic, right? So then, you know, pursued that in academia, you know, got a master's in creative writing poetry. My father was like, couldn't you at least be a novelist, you know? But you know, I started doing that, then got into teaching. And for a dozen years, I was a college English professor. So taught lots of different literature classes, taught tons of creative writing courses. And of course, as I'm sure many coaches who are from English academia, I had to suffer through many, many, many sections of freshman composition. So I was grading lots of essays, and I was doing that and did the PhD. And then in terms of how it turned into Atmosphere, I was just doing some writing coaching on the side, and then that just got to be more, and then it was more, and then it was more, and then it just sort of took over my life, and academia ended up sliding out the back door, and here we are.
So one of the things that we've talked about is what skills or talents or mindsets does somebody who comes from a literary or academic or humanities background bring to, you're not running a big company with a lot of people and you're not spending your days either writing poetry or grading freshman composition. So what kinds of things, and I'm asking this in a very broad way for the writers who are listening, because that's the path they're on too. When you publish a book, you're becoming an entrepreneur and you're entering into this space that perhaps you don't think you've trained for, but have you found that background to be useful in what you're doing now?
Yeah, this is actually something I love talking about. I think it's so interesting. And I love the Author Accelerator program. I like the idea of like being a writing coach. I think that that's like an awesome thing. We love, working with writing coaches. And it is that sort of weird transition of like I used to be like tinkering on, with words and editing things, and then all of a sudden it's like now I'm running a business. And like whether you are, somebody who's a writing coach, or you are somebody who was a writer and now you're an author, right? Like that's
Right.
the big distinction there, right? Like a writer writes, an author is a business person,
Right.
right? In a way.
Right.
And that's a difficult leap to make, but the way that I a lot of times think about it is you can resist it. And you can sort of, wallow in your ignorance. Like, believe me, when I started a company, like I had no idea what I was doing. I still am just like, plodding along trying to figure it out, it's like no MBA background, no background in marketing, no like extensive sales training or anything like that. But it's an opportunity to learn, right? So with Atmosphere, for example, for years, like I was really resistant of learning about marketing. Like I just didn't want to do it, and I know with a lot of times writing coaches, it's like, how do I market myself, right? Or with an author, how do I market my book? And the fact is just start learning,
Yeah.
like, you can, there are lots of resources out there to help you with this. It's about, positioning yourself, thinking of who your audience is, all of these sort of things that you might be considering, like as a writer, it's the same type of questions. It's just that now, rather than selling your plot or selling the narrative of your memoir, like you're selling the service, but it's kind of all sales one way or another.
Do you feel like you're good at it now?
To some extent, like I feel like, I've learned a lot and I've gotten a lot better, at trying to have a voice. And I think, sort of similar to writing, it's like you can really try to change your writing for an audience, but I think a lot of times you just need to write for yourself as the audience. And if you really like think about that and you really try to be true to yourself and like who you are, the audience will kind of find you, because that's when you're going to have like a more authentic voice. And I feel like with Atmosphere, we like scuffled along for a while because I wasn't really sure, like what should our voice be? Like how should we do it? And then it was like, well, maybe it should just be like an authentic voice, which as you can tell just from listening to me, it's like rather straightforward. Throw some jokes in there, and that, if you start just being honest like that, the audience will sort of, whoever is attracted to that, it'll work with them.
So you're talking about the business having a voice, which is like, I just don't think somebody who didn't come from the background you did is going to say a thing like that, right? Like our company has a voice, or we have to find our voice, or what is our voice? I mean, it's that just feels so writerly to me, which is amazing. I love it. So you start this business, and as you say, you there is a certain stance, I'm going to say oppositional stance, to a hybrid press is taking, where you were saying you some of the practices of a traditional publisher, you're working in a different way, or you're taking a different path, and that's the hybrid publishing path. I mean, there's a lot that's encompassed in that term of hybrid publishing, but it in some ways, there's a contentiousness about that, or people are going to come at you about that, or you're going to have to answer to that, or like you step when you start a business like you did, you're stepping into this very chaotic industry, this time of change, this inflection point. Did you expect that, to have to like have a conversation about that, or to sort of do you have to defend what you're doing? Like, what is that part like?
It's, been stressful, like I feel like it's a lot easier now, but when I started in 2015, like it was still just a side hustle. And like, I wasn't thinking about any of this, right? Like it was just, I had an author, he wanted help putting his book out. I was like, I will help you put your book out. Right. Like, it was that simple. Like I was a writing coach. Like that's what I was. I was his writing coach. We met all the time. We worked through his manuscript over the course of many, many months. And I was his coach. And then he was like, can you help me publish? And, I had a lot of experience in publishing from having been published myself. And I had also been a co-executive editor for a small literary press, so I knew how to do that, So this whole idea of like, I didn't necessarily realize that I was like stepping into a ring where there were fighters,
right.
So but then it is oppositional, like, because from the very start, I was like, well, I know that we don't want to take author rights. We don't want to do that. I knew that I didn't want to put a cover on a book that the author didn't approve. Like I knew that I wanted, author copies of their books to be affordable. Like, cause I saw so many people who I knew who had been traditionally published just sort of getting gouged on all of these different things. Right. So it was, defining ourselves as different than something else, like right from the start. And same with, self-publishing, there's a differentiation there too. It's like, oh, you're not just hiring a bunch of hired guns, or, like you're still working with the team, you're still having a brand name attached to your book, things like that. But yeah, in the early going, like 2018, 2019, 2020, it was still like, no, we are not a vanity press. Like, no, we are not just like some predatory monsters who are going to like try to like gouge you and provide you with no services and steal your book from you. Right. We were constantly having to be like, no, we are a legitimate service provider. We are a team of experts that is going to help you. And then now, over the course of time, through like places like Atmosphere and some of the other, reputable places, have worked to try to build more understanding behind the hybrid publishing term. And, sort of set up some more standards regarding like what qualifies as that, and how we treat people, it has gotten a lot less contentious, which obviously is, a good thing, I think, not just for us in like not having to defend, the good work of the really earnest people who are employed by Atmosphere, but I think it's also really, really great for our authors. Because our authors aren't having to like explain anything. Like our authors are out there like winning awards, doing talks, like going around on book tours and like getting recognition, right? And I feel like in the past they would have had to been like try to explain it away or sort of use like fancy footwork around it. But the world has changed, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that too in my business for the longest time. the first thing you had to do was explain what a book coach was. So there was this whole education component. And I think that was true with hybrid presses for sure. And I feel like things have changed a little bit. But there is still stuff out there, and I sometimes just really feel for authors who are coming up with their first book and don't know anything. How on earth are they supposed to know where to turn, you know, who to trust, what to invest in? You know, there's bad actors everywhere in every industry, in my industry, in yours, and, you know, all surrounding it. And it always upsets me to think about that person and, you know, someone who just is not aware, is not steeped in this culture or the language we all speak. How are they supposed to differentiate between someone who's trying to take advantage of them and someone who's not? Do you have any advice for that person who's really just starting to poke their head up from their writing and think, well, I want to do this. I want to get my book out there. You know, what do you recommend that person do? Or
Yeah. I think a few things. I mean, look for video testimonials. I think those are helpful. Because if you just have written testimonials, anyone can write anything. You know, we're not quite to the point where people can totally fabricate believable video testimonials, but that'll be here in like a year. Yeah. But I think that that's a good thing people should check out and look for. I think people should look for a masthead, you know, like look like who is actually on the team. Like we have everybody on our team is like on our website. You can see their faces. You can read their backgrounds, right? A lot of these other fly-by-night places, I mean, you see, you know, like they don't have that, right?
Right.
And we get so many of our authors. It's like tragic. We'll get an email from one of our authors who's like, oh my God, I was contacted. They want to turn my book into a Netflix series. And I mean, we're just always like, damn, you know, it would be great if that were true, but there's like a 99.99% chance that this is a scam.
Yeah.
Right. So we do a lot, especially when the book comes out, that's when they really come out of the woodwork. So we try to do a lot of education with our authors on like, these are like known bad actors. And there are so many of them.
Yeah.
But in terms of like somebody who's just out there, like Googling how to publish my book, I mean, I wish, you know, we could help those people more. I wish that it were, you know, easier to sort of steer people away. But the tricky part is that a lot of these shady actors, like author solutions oriented companies, where it's like, they have 20 different brand names.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it's so hard. And as soon as one of them becomes too sullied, like they just come up with a new one. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like they're constantly shifting the sand on people, and then, you know, they'll tell them whatever they want to hear. Like, you'll be a New York Times bestseller, you'll be this, like, and so there's just a lot of that. And it's hard to compete dishonesty with honesty.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we'll have like our acquisitions team will be on the phone with people, and they'll be like, oh, they told me that they would, you know, give me this and give me that and give me this, and be like, can you do that? And we have to be like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
You know, but, and then we also have to be like, and also neither can they.
Right. Right.
Right? And so there's like a tricky, tricky thing to try to walk there.
And what are your thoughts on who gets to be published? So, you know, it seems like we live in a time when anybody can be published tomorrow if they want to be. You know, so in terms of, it used to be there's a few gatekeepers, and you had to get through those gates, and it was hard for a lot of different kinds of people to get through those gates. Now those gates are thrown open. Anybody anywhere can publish. Do you have any thoughts about when a book is ready, or when a writer is ready, or what sort of bar it needs to meet to be ready, I guess is the word.
Yeah. So, you know, we are selective in who we work with, right? So we're obviously like less selective than a place that's only taking one out of every 10,000 manuscripts if you have, you know, 2 million Instagram followers, right?
Right.
You know, so it's different than that, you know, but we're not a self-publishing place where we'll just like crank out anything, right? We have a very specific, you know, acceptance standards. We have 4 questions that we need to ask. So 2 of them must be yes. And that's the first one is, will this be a mutually beneficial relationship? Like, will our team enjoy working with the author? Will the author enjoy working with us? You know, is it something where everybody stands to gain? The second yes question is, will our proven processes be a good fit for the book? You know, so we want to make sure that, you know, we're not signing somebody on who is not, you know, that what we do isn't going to work for them. Even if they come to us with a check written, you know, if we're like, you know what, you should take that check somewhere else, right? And then we have 2 questions that must be no, and that's, will the book cause harm to readers? So is there like hate speech in here? Is there sexism in here? Is there, you know, racism in here? Is this libelous? You know, we don't want to work with it. And then the last question, you know, is, will this book cause harm to Atmosphere Press? And that sort of, that one covers a lot of territory because it also covers matters of writing quality. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so if a book comes to us and it's got like issues with the writing, you know, it's like we, as part of our process, every author who works with us gets 2 editorial meetings and 2 rounds of proofreading. Like that's just something that's like in our standard contract, you know. So if the book is one where it cannot become publication ready within 2 editorial meetings and 2 rounds of proofreading, then we can't sign it on. Right. You know, so we do, you know, try to be rather democratic, you know, like personally me, I don't read fantasy novels. Right. You know, but many people do read fantasy novels, you know, and many people like to write fantasy novels. So we have an editorial staff that is specifically, you know, like we have editors who are primed for fantasy. Right. So we try to be democratic, but we do have to have standards because we have published a lot of like very accomplished writers, like people who have worked with the Penguin Random Houses and the Harper Collinses in the past. And then they wanted, you know, a more sort of personal experience, you know, people who are affiliated with like big time universities. So we've got to keep, you know, the standards, you know, high enough. And we really, really love working with authors who have a book coach, because, and I figure we can talk about this more, but that whole fact that they have taken those steps, those books just come to us like in such better shape, and are just way more likely to answer all those 4 questions, in the proper way, right from minute one, as opposed to the, you know, the keyboard warrior who is just writing their crazy thing in their basement, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm obviously happy to hear that, but it seems like back in the day, a writer could come to a publisher with a very unformed something. It could be even just an idea or a sketch or a loose draft, and there would be time and space and energy for people at that publisher to nurture that work for years in many cases. So, you know, you're talking about a editorial schedule that's very compressed compared to that. And that's what it is now everywhere. There's nowhere that's nurturing a writer for years. No publisher is doing that. It just doesn't exist anymore. Which is which is why book coaching is even a thing. But it, for a writer to decide that they're going to invest in themselves at that level so that they can approach the publishing process and be ready to work with a team of professionals to get that final, you know, get it finally into shape. Like that's a big difference in mindset than it used to be. So people who are caught up in that, well, I should be picked and I should be nurtured, you know, they're in for a surprise, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's absolutely true. I mean, like, you know, if somebody comes to us with, you know, a partial manuscript, like we're not really the place for that, right? Like right. We're a book publisher. We're not really going to be in position to, you know, nurture somebody through many, many drafts. And that's why like book coaches are great, you know, that it's like they're able to do that over a long period of time and really like help somebody like grow their work over time. So yeah, I think that's extremely, extremely useful to authors. And we do see it, you know, showing up in the quality, right? Like some people, you know, are able to write pretty well, like solo, and then they show up to us with a manuscript that they've never talked to anybody about before, and they can have a couple editorial meetings. We can, you know, sand off some rough edges, you know, and get things like ready to roll. But for the most part, you know, the quality manuscripts are the ones that have been through the ringer with an editor for who knows how long. Like it could have been a very long time.
Yeah. So what's sort of breaking your heart these days that you're seeing that writers are doing? What do you wish writers knew?
Yeah. So it does break my heart when people like sort of let their books, I guess there are a couple things, two answers. One is it breaks my heart when somebody ends up falling prey to one of these shady actors. Like that breaks my heart. The other thing that breaks my heart is when books die a silent death, you know?
Yeah.
In a couple different ways. One, because they try to pursue a traditional publisher, right? And they'll do that. They'll try to send out to agents. They'll send out to 100 agents. They hear back from 3 of them like 6 months later. It's like crickets, like nothing ever happens. They submit to contests or whatever. They try to get the book out there and then it just doesn't work out. And then they just give up, right? The book just gets mothballed. That I think is like super tragic because I know we've published a lot of books that have gone through that ringer and then ended up being like good books for us that like sold copies and that like changed the author's life, right? Like they were out there doing readings, they were making connections, they were networking, they were like leveraging authorhood to like improve their position as a human being on earth, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's really wonderful. That's one way that I worry about books dying because they give up after the traditional publishing pursuit. The other thing is books that die a silent death that were published because the author self-published them, but they were just like, I made my book, I'm going to self-publish it. They go on Fiverr, they get somebody to like chuck the book together for them. They throw it up on KDP. And next thing you know, it's like 3 hours later and their book is published and then it's like over.
Yeah.
Right. And there was like nothing really, like obviously some self-published authors like really make a cottage industry out of it and are like wildly successful. And I think that that's awesome. I think it's amazing. I did my PhD dissertation on Walt Whitman. He was self-published. So like, I'm all about that. But for a lot of them, you know, people, you know, their book just gets out there and ends up being a hollow experience because they have no team. They have no cheerleaders. There's nobody like advising them. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think, you know, a book coach is really helpful. Having a place like Atmosphere where we just have like a whole team of people who are there ready to help like coach you and be your champion through cover design, through editorial, you know, and then well on into publicity and, you know, being a publicist for your book and getting your reviews and interviews and all of this other good stuff. Because having friends, having a publisher who supports you, I mean, that's a pretty magical thing, I think.
So what's the best part of the work you do? Like, what's your favorite part of your day? I guess of your day, and then the second part of that question would be of just the whole enterprise. What's the best part?
I think just when I see pictures or videos of our authors doing readings from their book, like, that makes me like, I get pretty emotional sometimes when I see that, because, it's a journey. Like, it's a very collaborative experience, like signing on with Atmosphere. It's like, your book is not going to come out next month, right? Like, this is a relationship,
Right.
We're signing up, like, we're in it together, we're roomies, when they actually get to that point, and then a lot of them, they go out there, it's like, this is people who maybe have published 5 books before, or people who it's their first book, they go out there, they're doing a reading, they've got an audience, like that is always really wonderful. So I love seeing that a lot. And just on a day-to-day basis, I just really enjoy, because I personally don't do very much interface with authors at this point. At this point, it's more like, managing my team, putting out fires, like being more just sort of on the business side of things, right? So I really just love, supporting my team, and, I love seeing them happy about authors, saying like, oh, this author is such a gem. Like, they're just a grade A human being. And like, I know that they're getting a lot of satisfaction from, working with the authors as well. So all that makes me feel really good, for sure.
That's amazing. You brought it up, so I get to ask. You mentioned AI, and there has been a lot of chatter of late in our industry. Things sort of seem to be heating up around that. Do you think about that? Does it keep you up at night? What do you think about the rise of AI? Little drop a big question here at the end.
Yeah. Well, I think about it from a couple of different angles. From like a business angle, like just running a business, like, I mean, there's lots of opportunity to like use AI to help like with content creation, like for drafting blog articles and things like that. And that does stress me out a little bit, because I know that there are all these things as a person who runs a business that I should be like thinking about and trying to implement AI and use it for strategy and all of that. And I'm just sort of like, oh God, it's pretty overwhelming. But on the writing side of things, like for writers, like definitely when ChatGPT like first came out, like there was sort of a wave of like, is this the death of creative writing? Like, is everybody going to just start, like, they're going to be like, what's the point in writing, anymore? It's like ChatGPT can just do that. What's the point in doing it yourself? And so there's a lot of worry about that in the early stages, but I think, now I see it almost in more of that democratizing sense, that there are a lot of people out there who maybe due to something, like maybe their education, maybe the amount of time they have, maybe they have a disability, like maybe they have like 5 children, and don't have the ability to invest the time into writing something, but they've got an idea and they can use AI to like help them create work. So obviously there are pros and cons to that, like it's like, oh, it's not like you can't really copyright that, but we sort of as a press like we're not taking copyright from people. But I think that anything that makes it easier for people to create their own ideas and get their own ideas out there, whether they're asking a book coach or asking a friend or asking their mom or asking the AI, like, I'm for that. But I think all of us in the writing field, we're just going to have to like keep an eye on all this because we're just at the tip of the iceberg.
Does Atmosphere have any language or policy around publishing books that have used generative AI, or is that not, are we not there yet?
We do not have anything in our contract about AI specifically, but we did sniff out AI in one of our books that we had an author who we were working with, because like when it was going through editorial, it was like, this kind of has an AI vibe to it. And we asked the author, and the author was like, yeah, there is some AI in there. And so we just put a disclosure in the book. You know, we were like, okay, that's fine, but we just need to, we want to be like straight up about it. So just put in the book in the acknowledgments, be like, portions of this book were, you know, generated using artificial intelligence, you know, and I think that that's reasonable and fine. But yeah, I think, you know, are we in a position where it's like, oh, I wrote 100% of this using ChatGPT? You know, we're going to want that to be disclosed, right? But are we like innately against it? No, we're not, because, you know, the more you learn about AI, the more you sort of discover just the importance of prompting, that there's like an art to prompting the AI. So if you're going to get anything even remotely decent out of an AI, you're going to have to get really good at writing prompts, you know? So it's an art form for sure. It's just a new one for us to have to deal with.
There's always, well, you said this at the beginning, there's always something to learn in our business, always something new, never a dull moment, right?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to our listeners about Atmosphere Press and what you do. If folks want to learn more about you all, where is the best place for them to land?
Yeah, so definitely check out atmosphere press.com. So we've got all sorts of resources on there. So like, as I mentioned at the top of the call, like we really want to be, you know, a resource to writers, like regardless of whether those folks are working with us. So like we have, obviously you can submit a manuscript on there to have your manuscript considered for potential publication. But then also you can see, you know, the package deals that we have on there. We do have our contract is on the website. So you can like read the whole contract and see whether it's a good fit for the type of, you know, work you have or what you're looking for specifically. But then we also just have boatloads of writer resource articles on there. We have a free author interview series, even for authors who aren't working with us. We've got a publishing potential quiz on there where we'll give you custom feedback depending on your answers and where you are in your journey. Free book giveaways, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. I would say we've got like free candy and like treats, but we don't have those on there. But if there are a way to give out a free cup of coffee with every website visit, I'd be giving them out for sure. So
if a writer is approaching Atmosphere Press and they have worked with a book coach, is that something that they should let you know?
Yeah, definitely. If any writers, you know, worked with a book coach, you know, feel free to, you know, let us know in the cover letter, so that, you know, we have that additional bit of validation for the author that they've sort of been through the ringer a little bit. It's definitely gonna, you know, make us feel like, you know, this is a more serious person to potentially work with, because it is a collaborative relationship, publishing. So yeah, definitely having that insight, like us knowing that there's a relationship, or the book coach contacting us directly on behalf of one of their clients, that's also something that we're happy to work with, and that actually like works out very well, because then the book coach knows that there's a conversation happening. Sometimes the book coach will even be on an exploratory phone call, sort of talking it through.
That's great. Well, thank you for talking with me about this and giving our listeners insight into what is happening at Atmosphere and the hybrid publishing universe. I think it's just the more we can learn and know about good people doing good things, I think the better. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And for our listeners, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause, stop, stall.
Thank you.